Our Letters from Camp Training Camp podcast is brought to you by Bella Construction, a five-star home improvement contractor proudly serving the Pittsburgh area for over 20 years. Visit mybellaroof.com and request a quote today. Today's Bella Construction Letters from Camp podcast features a conversation with Steelers offensive coordinator Matt Canada. Tim Benz here, and I was one of three or four media members who requested an interview with Canada on Tuesday, and a lot of ground was covered, including what he has seen from Mitch Trubisky, the new quarterback of the Steelers so far in camp.
The way he's come in, I think he came in with a real good demeanor, and you know, I think he's earned the trust and respect of his teammates, which is, you know, unbelievably important. It is the position that, you know, that is the focal point. So I think that was, you know, key. Obviously, we know he has ability. We know he's a first-round talent, et cetera, et cetera. But the way he's come in and done that, obviously, his great knowledge of the game. He's done a great job not only grasping our system, but, you know, getting involved in what he likes and things we can do. So been a very good relationship thus far with he and the players and the staff.
Note, there wasn't very much in there about how Trubisky was actually playing on the field. Personally, I don't think it's been great, and that has gone largely under discussed because so much focus has been placed on who's getting the second team reps between Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. I think if the Steelers had drafted a linebacker or offensive lineman instead of a QB from Pitt, we'd be having a lot more discussion about if Mitch Trubisky is really good enough to be here as the starter. And frankly, I think that conversation should be happening right now anyway and should have been happening since he was acquired. But I've written that column and voiced that podcast a multitude of times already, and I'm sure I will again. Canada was also asked about leadership attributes of the quarterbacks.
I think all three of the quarterbacks who are getting reps have their own leadership style because they're all very different in how they play and what they're good at, what they may not like as much, and how they lead.
Media members up here seem a lot more obsessed with the leadership component of the offense than I am. I just want to know if the quarterbacks can throw and the offensive linemen can block and if the receivers can catch the ball more consistently and run routes more properly than they did a year ago. I think the leadership stuff will emerge on its own. I mean, if I hear another narrative about Najee Harris being a leader in year two, I might explode. He's a second-year running back. I really don't need him to be a leader. If I'm Mike Tomlin, I need him to get another 300 touches without getting injured, and good luck with that. I've spoken about that already here on the podcast. I've written about that in print at Trib Live, and that was discussed. Matt Canada did broach that topic of conversation with reporters today on the topic of Najee Harris and his 381 touches. Specifically, how do they manage that in 2022?
That's one of those questions that we would get, like, what play do we take him out on if he's so important to us? But obviously, we're going to, you know, Falk's monitoring that. We're looking at that as far as the load goes. But, you know, I don't think, you know, his role, what he does, he had, you know, he led the league in touches or almost last year, right? So it's not like we can get him a lot more. But how we do it, you know, featuring him. Feature might be the wrong word, but, you know, getting him in better spaces and better plays, and that's what we're trying to do for everybody.
Yeah, it did lead the league, and I think the best way to perhaps diminish Najee Harris's touches without specifically diminishing his impact on the game is to get more quality touches out of him than quantity of touches. I think the best way to do that is to spread the ball in the pass game better and more efficiently. Not so much the topic of conversation we've had over and over again about finding a really good second running back. I mean, if he can, great. It's just been hard to do so far this offseason. I think the better way to minimize how often Harris has the ball in his hands is not so much take him off the field more often. It's keep him out there as a threat, but then use other guys in the pass game more efficiently. And Chase Claypool spoke about this earlier in training camp. You know, there's nothing wrong with a five-play scoring drive. Yeah, in fact, that's great if they can do it a little bit more often. You don't need as many six-yard checkdowns that are incurring big hits but yield minimal results and have that be part of the wear and tear on Harris's body. He had 74 receptions last year for the Steelers, and a lot of them were for minimal gains, and maximum contact. That's what they can get away from. Those are the touches that you can shed from Harris, yet still have his play be effective, at least I think anyway. But one of the issues right now is working on the passing game, and this may be something that's been a little bit difficult for Trubisky to deal with, in the case that both Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson have been absent from team drills. Claypool due to injury and Deontay Johnson due to his contract situation.
When those things happen, you know, it's not good for those for guys not to be out there for whatever reason, but it's always good for the other guys who get more reps. So we're getting a great chance to watch, you know, Anthony Miller's come back and, you know, made some plays. You've seen him out there. Obviously, you know, Calvin and George being rookies have come out. Gunner's a new, you know, kind of a new guy with us who's come out and done things. So I think you've seen different, we get to see different players kind of make the best of any situation you can at the time. You go back to last camp and you guys were here when we had some, you know, we had some events happen. Remember LeGlue had to work in play center and all that at one practice. He kind of got, and all of a sudden he ends up starting, what, the last two or three games. So you never know how it's going to play out down the road. So we're looking at it as a positive.
The benefit by extension of their absences has been that the other guys who are battling for reps in the slot have gotten lots of work. And three of them have done very well. Gunnar Olszewski, Calvin Austin, and Anthony Miller I'm speaking of. And in each case, they've all done very well. And it's funny because Claypool is such a huge slot guy that him learning that position more this year was a focal point coming into the season. And those three are little guys, the more typical shifty, quick, return specialist type of receivers that you'd expect to see in the slot. Canada is just fine with the discrepancy in build and in physical attributes between Claypool and the other guys who have been manning the slot while he's been hurt with the shoulder.
I think our ability to be flexible at all positions, we feel like, is, you know, NFL's comes down to matchups, right? We all know that, putting your players in the best position to make plays, and the flexibility that anybody has to do different things allows them to not be stuck in a hole where somebody you're playing knows where they are. So we obviously believe in that. You guys are here, you know that, but we're not going to put anybody in a spot today.
The other person who seems to have benefited from the absences of Claypool and Johnson has been George Pickens. The second round wide receiver from Georgia has been a star of training camp so far.
You know, we talked about the injury that he went through and where he kind of was on the board. And again, that's so far ahead for me, but where the, you know, coming out and then he got nicked up. So we had great faith. He had great talent and was going to come in. I'm really impressed with the way he works, the way he's worked to learn. You know, he is a very hungry guy to compete, which is great. And that's not necessarily a surprise. But I think, you know, he's in his playbook. He's with Frizz. He's working really, really hard to be in the right place at the right time, and that's been positive. So, yeah, he's played through 5 days, which, again, I keep saying we got a long way to go, but through 5 days, we've been very pleased with the plays he's made, which you all have seen, but also with the way he's approached it.
The Steelers could always use the tight end more often, I think, especially when they've got a good one now in Pat Freiermuth. At least run out of two tight end sets more often, maybe even use Connor Hayward and Derek Watt as fullbacks or H-backs, quasi tight ends, however you want to label them. When the Steelers have done that in recent years, it's been rare. They run out of 11 personnel or kings, one running back and one tight end, more than any teams except the two Super Bowl clubs, the Rams and the Bengals. The Steelers got up to 16% of the snaps in 12 personnel last year, one running back and two tight ends, up from 12% the year before. Can't really look at 2019. That was an aberration because of Ben Roethlisberger's injury. But in 2018, it was only 9%. That's before Ben got hurt. It'd be great to see them use from time to time a two tight end set and, you know, even throw out of it on occasion. But if they were to run out of it more often, that could really help Najee Harris, I believe, because then you get more quality blocking and maybe the holes are a little bit bigger for him and he's not getting met in the backfield and having to power through that first wave of defenders beyond his own line of scrimmage, especially with Zach Gentry's improvement as a blocker of late. Canada spoke about that theory a little bit as well.
I hope that we do the best thing we can do in every game and every matchup to win. I mean, I think, you know, to say we're going to specifically plan to do that. To your point about Gentry, Gentry is a guy who's, you know, his game is elevated. I've only been, you know, this is my third camp here, but, you know, he's gotten better every year. He can do more things. There's things he can do that other tight ends can't around the league, in my opinion. Obviously, we know what Pat can do there, you know, and Connor's come in and been a nice, you know, a nice addition to what we're doing. And so we've got some tight ends. You know, how much more or less, I'm not going to really say that. But I do, you know, I do, we enjoy that deal. I think there's places in the game for it. And if it gives us the best matchup in a certain week, we're going to do it.
Now, speaking of tight ends, I talked with tight ends coach Alfredo Roberts a little bit too. He'll be featured in tomorrow's Breakfast with Ben's column from St. Vincent College. And later on in the week, maybe even as early as Friday, we're going to dive into the offensive line discussion as well, because we didn't really talk about that too much with Canada. And one thing I really want to find out more about is the reason that the coaches have right now for optimism in the offensive line, aside from just, hey, James Daniels is here. It's great that he's here, and I think that was a fine signing, a really nice acquisition from the Chicago Bears, but he can only play one position at once. There's four other spots at the line that need to improve. So we'll dive into that as well. If not next week, then later this week at Breakfast with Ben's. Topics like that coming up in future editions of the Bella Construction Letters from Camp podcast, too, brought to you by My Bella Roof. Go there and ask for a quote today.